With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast, Theanos, presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. Before or after the game at Comerica, hit up Moots Pizzeria on Library Street for a slice, a whole pie, or just a drink. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by America's favorite turkey fighter. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how's it going, buddy?
Jordan is referencing a photograph I sent him from my cellular telephone. Just an hour ago, I was lounging in my hammock, and one of these expletive turkeys walked right by me. Wow. It practically went under my hammock. And that is a whole new level of hubris on the part of the turkeys. I hate those stupid turkeys.
I think you are approaching the point where you live in the house that's near their yard as opposed to them living in the yard that's near your house.
They're keeping me as nuisance pets. It's true. Yeah. It's their world. I live in it.
I wonder if they find you as annoying as you find them annoying.
I hope so. I hope I'm a pain in their tail feathers.
Yeah, that dude was for sure alphaing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the beta male in the yard ecosystem for sure.
So originally I was going to call you the man that consumes only the finest of meats. I bring it up because according to WXYZ, that makes a lot more sense because that would be going in the correct alphabetical order. In Detroit, a study has been done by researchers at the University of Michigan claiming that eating a hot dog could take up to 36 minutes off of your life. Do you buy that?
There's professors, didn't you say? It was a study. So
it's in air quotes, researchers. I think anybody can be a researcher as long as you are doing research.
So I'm guessing, though, that this is a correlation causation situation. Are you familiar with this principle? Just because two things are related to one another does not mean that they're caused. So I'm guessing that there is a host of corresponding factors that accompany hot dog eating that would shorten your life. So a person who eats a lot of hot dogs might also consume a lot of what?
Potato
beer,
chips,
cheap snack foods, potato chips. And I bet the accumulation of all those things leads to a shorter lifespan.
I think I just made that up, right? Your nerdery, I feel like, has taken all of the fun out of this, but I am almost positive that is the
where are my glasses tonight. Take. So yeah,
definitely. Let's take away all of the nerd speak that you just spewed at me. Let's just take it at face value.
Okay.
36 minutes.
Yep.
Would it be worth it?
Just eat it slowly enough. I suppose you're just dying the same amount of time that it takes you to eat it. As you know, maybe.
I mean, that does even it out.
That's the least.
Or are you taking double the amount of time? Because you've just lost an extra, 34 minutes of life additionally.
You're for a good time, Jordan. Not a long time, bud.
How many hot dogs do you estimate you've eaten in your life?
In my life? I maybe eat 10 a year.
Really? So not a big hot dog guy?
No.
All right. Interesting.
But, I mean, if I eat a hot dog a month, that's a large amount of hot dogs for me.
Wow. All right.
What you're eating, a hot like, dog guy?
I feel like hot dogs are a very easy meal. You throw them in the pan and all of a sudden you have dinner.
It's a little.
Even I can do that.
It's slumming it a little. I eat, you know, foie gras every evening.
Obviously. So I was trying to think, like, if a hot dog takes 36 minutes off your life, what would you suspect that a donut would take off of your life? Because donuts are like the worst thing in the world for you, right?
They're just carbs and fat, right? There's no nutrition in a donut. None. It'd probably be more, I'm guessing.
Like more a full 45 minutes or like a fortnight a piece.
So if I eat a broccoli, does that mean I live longer? Can this be reversed?
Well, celery for sure, you know, because of the whole calorie. It takes more calories to eat it than you get from it. I don't know about broccoli, though. I feel like for each of the little strands on the head, maybe you get like a minute back a piece.
I don't know. I'm not eating celery, though. I'd rather just shorten the life. You know, just give me the coffin. I don't need your celery.
If you want to hear more of nonsense like this, and you were on fire, I can't remember exactly what you were talking about. You actually had a very intellectual take. Clearly, your glasses were on. I think it was about like authoritarian leadership this past week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because somebody was pointing out that in coaching, there seems to be less, you know, chew your butt, yell at people kind of thing. And I wonder if this is part of a larger trend in society and in the marketplace where we're seeing fewer authoritarian military style top-down leadership, you know, where a leader goes away and thinks about stuff or some team does, and then they come back and say, I know how to do it. This is how we're going to do it. Now you need to listen to me. And if you don't, I'm going to chew you out. Like, that's kind of an old model. The new model is more about transformational leadership and getting the best out of people and all the, you know, corporate buzzwords about, you know, maximizing potential and synergies and all that stuff. And I feel like baseball is just maybe a bigger part of that trend in society where authoritarian top-down leadership is just kind of, everybody rolls their eyes at it. It's like, well, how do you know? And how are you going to tell me what to do? And, you know, you're not a source of infinite wisdom. It's more of a collaborative type thing. And you see it, you know, we had those promotions today. Like the environment of leadership is more collaborative and you have a team, more of a team approach. And that precludes this Earl Weaver style management.
Wow, that's a name I didn't expect to hear tonight. That was back from when you were like a teenager.
Yeah, that's a throwback.
So anyway, all of that to say, I completely agree. I think that you are spot on. I was more just citing this as an example of why people should follow us on Twitter. And by us, I of course just mean you.
Oh, no. Well, you get their smoke and soccer tanks from me.
I think you're spot on. I definitely... I completely agree. So anyway, Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain and I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. The show is at Podcastianos. And as always, the Podcastianos is presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar, the Motor City's only authentic New York pizzeria, a staple in the Detroit pizza scene, amongst the best of the best we have to offer here in the Motor City. Some of our favorites are the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, which is just your classic pepperoni. It is fantastic. The Bee Sting, which is my go-to. That's got the hot honey on there. And, of course, the world-famous garlic knots. Have you tried the garlic knots yet?
No.
Oh, the garlic knots are fantastic. Next time we're there, those will be a go-to.
Garlic knots, got it.
Stop in with your friends for a few pies or grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. I'll edit all this out. Just kidding, obviously. You know that by now. We're 140 episodes in. Everything says. Visit MootsPizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, Moots offers 2 hours validated parking in the Z lot. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Eric, so while the whole season has been a breath of fresh air kind of all around the franchise, the last week or so has been a bit of a slog. The fellas haven't scored more than 3 runs since last Tuesday and more than 5 runs since the Thursday before that. Been a lot of close games, and we really haven't been scoring much. What have you made of these last couple days, overexposure of the young fellas, just the dog days, August. Like, what are we looking at here?
Well, they're one run games. We've played now six straight one run games. We've won two and lost four. I think there's a lot of moral victories out of this. I mean, we're not getting blown out. We're seeing some quality starting pitching, all the good stuff. And I think you're maybe right. The lack of offense might be just a little bit of fatigue, both physically and maybe mentally. I don't know. Do you have a theory? But yeah, we don't see much offense.
Yeah, I think there's starting to be a lot of tape on some of these young guys. Yeah. I actually want to go before we get to
hot. It has been hot AF.
Incredibly hot.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
But before we dip into some of the bad parts, I want to I can't remember if it was our buddy Evan or Cody that was talking about this, how because there's been so many close games recently, we've had to dip into some of the non-traditional high leverage relievers and get guys like Derek Holland into some of these situations. And by and large, they've all kind of come through it pretty well. Like, I think there has been some, you know, like you say, moral victories, which, I mean, there's worse things in the world. But yeah, I would partly attribute it to the Heat. Like, that's a, I mean, we've both, I think we started our Zoom call by complaining about how hot it was. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine it's a lot of fun to be out in wool pants or whatever they're rocking out there. But yeah, I think there's starting to be a little bit more tape on some of the youngsters. And I think that it's just reached the point where, everyone's kind of had the successes that they've needed for the season. And we kind of just need to, you know, super sim to the end of the season, if that makes sense.
Yes, we'd rather win than lose. Correct.
I would certainly imagine so. Yeah.
But Jordan, how much does it really matter? It matters more the trajectory and the overall quality of the organization than it does. Did we beat Toronto in a one run game in late August?
Yeah, I feel like it's partially kind of going back to spring training mentality. Like, there's got to be certain things that you're looking for to get guys in certain situations. But also, I think how guys respond to certain situations, you can learn from going forward. Like, you know, getting Alex Lang a little bit more high leverage innings, stuff like that. Whereas it doesn't, like you say, it doesn't really matter if he comes through it unscathed. It matters that he's getting the experience and trying it. So I don't know. Like, the purists are always going to say, you know, winning is better than losing. And by and large, that's probably true. Right. But I don't know.
It'd be fun to finish second in the division. But if we don't, what difference does it really make? I mean, I think I hate to say it because it doesn't set expectations high enough, but I think we've done enough this year where you can start thinking about investing or the next step. And we're going to talk about Hinch's comments probably soon, but I think this last month is really going to be a, like you say, spring training, but it's going to be an extended audition process for who's got a future with the club. Who do we want to make some investment in, and who is going to be like, they're kind of expendable.
Yeah, definitely. And before we jump into who we think are currently auditioning, I think it's really important that some of these guys experience the grind. Like, baseball is an 162 game season. Like, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, we're not going to be playing the same guy every single day other than, you know, Candelario and probably Robbie Grossman. But like, a lot of these young guys just need to be in the dugout for 162 game season to see it over the stretch of the campaign.
Sure.
And I think that'll serve them well going forward if they in fact do go forward with us. All right. I have four names down that I think we are currently auditioning.
Okay.
I'm sure you have others. I'm sure there are probably many of them that are the same. The first one that I want to talk about is outfielder Willy Castro. We've seen what Willy can do as an infielder.
Yep.
It is limited, shall we say?
Right.
We started to see him a little bit more in the outfield, and it hasn't exactly been great either.
I will say, though, I don't think that's extremely fair. Now, okay, if he goes through an off season to prepare and then a spring training and he's still making the same mistakes, but he essentially has zero training, zero background. And, you know, as an outfielder, he might be a great outfielder someday, but he's not right now. And I think it's a little unfair. So to say this is a true audition for him, these are professional baseball players. They play there. They've spent their whole life honing in on one position and now you're switching it up on them. I want to see what you're able to do, but I think it's a little premature to label him as an outfielder, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. Who you got?
For me, I think it's a good audition for Zach Short. You know, I don't think he can lock himself a future position, but I think he might work himself out of
that was my first question. You don't think this audition is over?
Yeah. I mean, he's got to show you something a little bit. I mean, he's getting a lot of at bats and he's got to hit a little bit. And if he doesn't, okay, he's a triple A guy, you know,
yeah,
for a while. But I think he can work himself. If he doesn't show you something, he's going to be easily labeled as expendable.
Yeah. He's very good in the field, but he has gotten a lot of run at the plate.
Yes.
To have shown not to slate the guy, but like absolutely nothing.
I like Short. I think he'll grow and into something, but he's fighting it right now.
Yeah. We've had a lot of guys over the years, not going to throw any names, 'cause I don't want to be too mean, but like that you just assume when they come to the plate, like, the positive outcomes in this situation are limited, and he is right there in that club.
Yeah. You have another one?
Guy I think is currently auditioning in the outfield, and I know you're not going to like it when I say this, but I think he's succeeding in his auditioning is Derek Hill. And he's an exciting player to watch. I don't know. Like, we've had Akil Baddoo that's kind of in that same, like, you know, gets the crowd going, loses the helmet. But like some of the plays that Derek Hill's making in the outfield, like that's, it gets the people going. I don't know. I've been very impressed by him.
He has the capacity to be the best defensive player in the league. Well, at least defensive outfielder. I mean,
certainly one of them. Yeah.
Pick your favorite, you know, Jim Edmonds or whoever you remember making huge highlight reel catches. He's right there in that aspect. And he should be. Yeah. I mean, that's his main tool, but he hit a bomb yesterday, right? Oh, hitting for a little bit of power in the big leagues.
Yeah, I said that he's got some pop in that bat last week, and you poo-pooed the crap out of me.
Yeah, I'm a big poo-pooer.
Go ahead.
No,
I just want to tie a bow on Derek Hill when he came up. Did he come up for the first time last year at some point? I can't remember. But I just assume that it was a matter of time just to, okay, let's check the box. We did that one.
Give him his chance. Yeah.
And he's shown me a little bit. I'm not necessarily saying by any stretch that I think he's going to develop into a future Tiger starter, but there's a lot more than I was expecting. Okay. What do you have?
How about Tyler Alexander? I mean, he's been pressed into this kind of starting role. And he's steadily working his way up, and he's becoming more impressive. I think he's earned himself a spot as more of a fixture.
Yeah, I think completely agree.
Going well.
And I think the thing that I always forget is that there was one point where Tyler Alexander was one of the better prospects we had in the system. Mm-hmm. Granted, that was an earlier time before we had, you know, tried to rebuild things, but I mean, he is a guy that has some pedigree, and it's clearly, you know, coming together. You can tell he's learning a lot start to start. I don't know. He's a relatively smart dude. Like, yeah, I completely agree. I don't know how he doesn't have a early lead on one of the rotation spots for next year. And weirdly, I'm okay with that.
Right. Funkhauser.
I'm not sure that I'm calling Funkhauser in audition status anymore. I think he has passed, and I think he is just otherwise, he is a fairly valuable member of the bullpen.
Yeah. He seems like the new Buck Farmer almost, like,
yeah,
you know, what Buck was, he's, he's becoming kind of reliable. And
if we get that career out of Funkhauser, that's perfectly fine, because I'd pretty much written him off for dead.
If you get 2 or 3 years of good, you know, slightly above average Funkhauser, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, how many prospects come and go without ever having established themselves? And he was pretty much off the radar. I mentioned Alex Lang before. Like you said, I don't think this is a true audition. I just think that we're finally starting to get him some consistent innings, and I think that I really like him. I think he's gonna end up being another one of those guys that more or less cements himself going into next year. But weirdly enough, that bullpen is fairly talented and fairly deep. It might be tough to come by.
Yeah, it's weird because all of a sudden you got Fulmer out there. You got Soto, who's obviously been good. Cisnero, you know, despite a couple blemishes lately, has been dynamite. It's so weird. Like, that's the shining star of our team when for so long we couldn't do it. I mean, you got three big hosses in the back there.
Yeah. What we would have given for those in 2006 and 2000.
Yeah.
Basically all of the 2000s years.
Yeah. On the other side of the audition, I mean, guys like Joe Jimenez are kind of done, right?
Holland was a, he probably shouldn't have made it out of spring training on a normal team anyway.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But so he's done. I don't know. Is there anybody who else who's played themselves out of a spot?
Griner. I don't, I mean, he hasn't been a regular fixture.
I was surprised they took Garneau instead of Griner, to be honest.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't, it's the fourth catcher. Over. I mean, what does it really matter?
It doesn't. I feel like this is the debate we have like the second to last week the of last, spring training.
Yeah, it does not matter.
All right, so let's jump ahead. You alluded to AJ's comments, and I'll just read you the exact quote. This is from, I think Evan reported this. If the Tigers organization does a good job, we're going to reestablish ourselves as a winning franchise and develop a winning culture. If you want to be part of it, then you'll come. If you don't, then we'll beat you.
Wow.
That's my man right there. That's my manager.
You are speaking for Tigers fans everywhere. Fans went nuts for this. This is like catnip. This is what they wanted to hear. They want a little bit of hubris. We're coming up. You're either get with us or get run over. It showed up on t-shirts. It showed up everywhere. People couldn't retweet this fast enough. People want to hear this from their manager. And Hinch did it in a good way, in a tasteful way. It was good.
Additionally, you know what I think it does? I think it puts a little pressure on the front office to actually start delivering on some of the promises that Chris was running his mouth about, what, like a month ago?
Sure.
I mean, you can't. AJ Hinch is what is going right in this franchise right now. You can't, you know, isolate him and basically piss him off by not giving him what he needs. You need to put your hands in your pockets and start at least giving him some tools to be able to follow through on words like this.
Well, you know, after I got done poo-pooing winning one run games, you know, maybe that's a reason why you want to win some of these, just because it shows you trajectory and okay, we are a good club, and you would almost shame them into getting you some more pieces by showing a more quality loss record.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But yeah, I don't know. I'm the longer we have AJ, the more I read what he says and hear what he says after games. Like,
he's impressive.
If there's a guy that's going to bring us back, it's him. And
he's impressive.
It was just such a slam dunk hire.
Yep.
Speaking of slam dunk hires, there was some front office rejigging today. David Chad has been demoted to a, and I quote here, player development role. Dave Littlefield has been demoted to a, once again, I quote, special assignment scout. And guys like Sam Menzin, Jay Sartori, and Kenny Graham have been elevated to some of the highest positions in the land. I'd be lying if I said that I follow the front office comings and goings as much, so I will defer to you here. Take us home.
Well, let's be real. I mean, we're not exactly in Tigers HR and doing job evaluations. Like, I can't tell you who's responsible for what and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I suppose we can paint with a fairly broad brush that some of the old guard is still around, but the younger guard is taking a more assertive and higher profile role. Is that fair to say?
That's definitely
without getting into, yeah. And, you know, it's the beat writers and nobody really wants to say demoted or shuffled out, but I think it seems that way. And they're trying to spin it as, hey, we're bringing up a couple of the people that we're really starting to trust more and giving them more senior positions. And I it's impossible to know, you know, it's a little bit like how much does the hitting coach help hitting? Yeah. I mean, you can look at the results and assign it, and that's probably what we can do here, but I couldn't say. I mean,
yeah, I agree. Our buddy Keenan Carter, he says that the three are, quoting here, some of the smartest minds in the front office when it comes to scouting and player development. He is a much smarter source on this thing than I am. Yeah. So I'm very happy to, especially when the news is good, to defer to his logic there. So
see, one of the guys worked for Apple for a couple of years and is kind of innovative. And Littlefield, didn't he come out of the pirate system? And
he's always just kind of ground.
So I could see where they want to give their fresh blood a bump.
You think that he can get the franchise some discounts at the Apple store? I think, are we looking at that? Is this a cost cutting measure?
Hope he got some stock options at the time. Maybe he can buy our next free agent.
There we go. The only other thing I wanted to mention, Miggy up to 2,961 hits. Obviously there was the kerfuffle with the numbers on his home run counter blowing over. Everyone's like, oh, that cheeky pause. He's up to no good. But at what point do we take down the home run counter? Like he's got it. Like, let's just move on. Let's well, make gotta, the hit counter the bigger. Up. Yeah. Make the hit counter bigger. Lose the home runs. I'm ready to be done with it. He got it. It's fine.
I think you should leave it up. It's a good reminder how many home runs he has. He shows everybody what a boss he is.
501 now? It's not an even number.
Were you big on symmetry or something? You want to have everything right in your life? Get some OCD going? Leave it up. It's fine. He's got a buttload of home runs.
It's true. All right. You ready to move on to power rankings?
Power rankings. Let's do it.
Is this one going to be fire?
I don't know. We'll see.
I was not promised that during the day, so I'm expecting that.
Promising nothing. After you get bread storage, I mean, what more can you deliver for the people? I mean, you can't.
It's very true.
So I don't know if you know this, but in some parts of the country, children, the youths, are returning to.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
School. So elementary schools everywhere are a buzz and activity. And whenever you go down an elementary school hallway, you kind of see the coat hooks of the lockers. And inevitably, they have the kids' names on the lockers. Or there's a bulletin board with, laminated construction paper with the kids' names. But it's fascinating that what names these kids have. They're not names of the parents or the grandparents. There's new names. So I have for you the best and worst popular names for grade schoolers.
So basically these are like millennials naming their children.
Yes. So these are the top 20 boy or girl names that were named in the 2010s. So these are elementary school kids. And if you have any problems with what I'm saying, or if I don't choose your kid's name, just remember, we're sponsored by North River Vodka. Remember to give them all the hassle. to North River Vodka.
I thought you were going to go full Roy Kent and just tell him to piss off.
I love Roy Kent.
Roy Kent's the best.
I love Roy Kent. He's starting to carry the show a little bit for me. Okay, anyway. North River Vodka brings you the top seven and bottom three grade schooler names. Here we go.
Just like Chris would want.
What?
I said just like Chris would want.
Just like Chris is ducking under a pillow someplace. Okay. Number seven from the top is Grace. Grace is a nice name. This is the 19th most popular name for a girl. Solid name, easy to say, easy to spell. It's very gracious, Grace.
I can see that being very popular on the west side of the state.
Yeah. Big, big reformed area over here. You got a lot of Dutch Christian people. All right, Grace, all about Grace. Okay, number six, we have Joseph, which is the 20th most popular boy's name. So just snuck in. Joseph is a good name. You can go with Joe, which I really appreciate for a nickname. You know, it's biblical. It's classy. Joseph.
Like Joey, too.
Joey, yeah.
There's multiple queued it options.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number five from the top is the eighth most popular girl's name, which is Emily. Emily's been around pretty solid and consistent for a long time. If I told you, oh, this person's name is Emily, you couldn't really tell me if they're 45 or 25 or 5, which I kind of like.
1800s. Yeah.
Yeah. It's give you some longevity. I like Emily. It rolls off the tongue nice and it's a name.
What do you think contributes to a name being long lasting? This is just, do you have any ideas?
Well, I don't. I mean, it's got to sound good. It's got to be across languages, kind of pronounceable. It's got to have some roots, maybe like a biblical or a, you know, mythological start. I don't know.
Yeah. People love mythological stuff.
It's weird. It's got to be big family names. I don't know.
Anyway, all right. I was just curious. I've never really thought about that, but it's interesting.
I guess I don't know. I just made that up. Number fourth from the top is Ethan. I think Ethan's a good name. It's the sixth most popular boy's name.
And these are all far more traditional than I was expecting to hear in this category.
This is kind of how I like, you know, I don't want, well, we'll get to the bottom. We'll get to the bottom soon enough. Trust me, friends. Ethan is a fine name. Ethan Allen. It's American. Seems robust. It's like a piece of craftsman furniture. It's just solid Ethan. Yeah. I like that.
I'm not really into like furniture or craftsmanship, but like, yeah, that is the first name that comes to mind when you say Ethan
Allen.
You think of like sturdiness.
Strength. Yeah.
Yeah.
Third from the top is another classic. You're noticing a theme here. I have Elizabeth, which is the 11th most popular girl's name of the 2010s. A lot of ways you can go. Elizabeth, it's a fine name. It's a little bit of a mouthful, but you can always go Liz. You can go Beth, you can go Lizzie, a lot of choices. Ellie, sure.
Yeah,
a lot you of know, choices. It's a choose your own like adventure name.
It's like the Andrew Romine of girls' names.
Yeah, it's very, put it anywhere. It's very flexible. Number two, I have Benjamin. I think Benjamin's a nice name. Ben, I suppose you could go Benji if you want to go crazy. Yeah. That's the 11th most popular boy's name yet. Ben has some longevity, good Benjamin.
You expect a certain type of person when they're rolling up with the name Benji.
Yeah, you don't. You're not getting somebody who's wishy-washy. They're
no,
not.
Definitely not. And they probably Benjamins are know how to pretty... handle their booze.
Right. Okay, so I have for you the top boy's name of the 2010s. Who you got?
I genuinely have no idea. It's going to be Eric, isn't it?
No. No. It does not. That's not, you. How? What's the last baby Eric you saw? Who's naming their baby Eric?
Yeah, all Erics start off 25 and just get older from there.
Yeah, there's no baby Jasons. There's no baby Steves. this is my infant son, Steve. Really? Really?
It's my infant son, Bruce.
Bruce. This is my son, Gary. Yeah. He's in the 3 to 6 month outfits. Gary is. Okay, no, number one grade schooler name that I like is Elijah. I think it's nice. You know, Eli, it's biblical. Man, Elijah, you know, you don't want to mess with an Elijah. you know, prophesy on you or something.
Rain down fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Baal is no match. All this kind of stuff. Okay. Elijah, that's number one. Now let's.
Worthy winner. But this, yeah, this is what I was looking for.
Let's cut to the chase. I mean, this is the fun part. We're going to talk about the worst.
Let's trash some names.
All right. Again, register your complaints with somebody, not me. The third from the worst is Jackson for a boy. Jackson, I know what you're trying for here. I know you're trying for Jack or something like that. We'll just name him Jack. Jackson is a last name. It should never be a first name. And what are you naming him? Andrew Jackson? The dude was a tool. Jackson is not good.
Speaking of, we cancel everyone and everything. How is he still on our money?
Oh, no idea.
Is there a call for that? I mean, no. I don't really pay.
Andrew Jackson was a monster and we should get rid of him.
Yeah. I mean,
cancel culture. Are
many things I care about more than who's on our money. But while we're canceling stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
All right. Number second from the worst is a girl's name. And I have Chloe. Chloe.
What's wrong with Chloe?
It's a CH and it makes a K sound. It should be Chlo. It looks like Chlo.
It's hard to argue with that logic.
Yeah. What are you doing? Chloe is just a mouthful. Where did a Chloe come from? It's not. That's the 15th most popular girl's name among elementary school students right now. Chloe. Poor kids can't even spell it. Their own name is Chloe, and they're like K-L-O-W-E. I don't even, how are they supposed to spell it? Poor Chloe.
Speaking of that, you know what I've often wondered? You know, kids struggle to spell names. How do Greek kids grow up figuring out how to spell their names? They're like last names.
And they just put some letters in a shaker and shake it out, whatever it is.
Usually a lot of letters.
Why are we ripping on the Greek people now?
I'm not necessarily ripping on them. Just those would be extremely difficult names to spell as adults. I can't imagine as like a six-year-old.
All right. The worst name that you're going to see among elementary school students right now. Jaden for a boy. This is the 15th most popular name among elementary school students in America right now is Jaden for a boy. Jaden's out there. I love you because you need some love because you don't have a good name. I know parents may want to call him Jay or what, or I guess we'll just name him Jay. Jaden is a contrived name. It's not from anything. It's just made up. Jaden, J-A-Y-D-E-N, 15th most popular name. Again, if you have complaints, North River Vodka, care of Chris Iatt. Jaden is a bad name. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
I feel like you just slapped Will Smith right in the face.
Oh, wait, that's her. That's the Jaden Smith. Yeah, maybe that's why it's so popular. Everybody wants to get jiggy with it.
It's true. Also, new Man United player Jadon Sancho also just punched him right in the face.
I don't know. Sorry, Jadens. You know what? I'm sorry for you, but you know, maybe you should blame your parents. Okay.
That's true there. I'm assuming you have honorable mention here.
For elementary school students, Eric is 123rd most popular.
Jordan, what about for like people?
Jordan
in the senior
for
citizen
boys. Home? Jordan for boys is 61st.
So I'm beating you.
Oh, for
what
sure.
What about for girls? I feel like recently I've heard
31,000 Erics in the United States that are elementary
shocking.
School age right now.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant overall. I'm like,
no. Recently,
these are incredibly low.
These are school kids. Yeah.
All right. Nothing on the side of the road this week. I haven't really done much in the way of running because it's been a trillion degrees. I like running, but not necessarily when it's that painful. Fortunately, a lot of our roads are starting to, I told you that the sidewalks are all jacked up everywhere. They're finally starting to get redone. So these last couple days, since it's been cooler, the running's been a little bit nicer, but Thanks, Mayor James Mueller, for fixing our roads. Have I told you about the signs that he has, like, everywhere that he's fixing his roads? Like,
yeah,
another road fixed by Mayor James Mueller.
That's right. You got to pimp yourself. Who else going to do it
apparently.
For you?
Yeah. All right. Twitter questions?
Twitter questions. Here we go. Wow.
Wow. Are you ready? Browns. Oh, no. Okay.
No,
I was going to say, whew. I wasn't ready for you to be ready.
Well, good news for you. I'm not. Okay. Here we go. A Haas divided. That's just JP Skoronek asks, if you had to pick a song to describe the 2021 Tigers, what song would that be?
I don't really know any songs. I'm not really a music guy, but is there something about like a work in progress or a guy or a gal like working on themselves to get better, something like that?
I'm sure there is.
Or just insert whatever Nelly song.
Okay.
Those are always good options.
I'm going with Pink's masterpiece, I'm Coming Up, So You Better Get the Party Started.
Oh, there we go. Nice.
You like that?
I like it. Yeah.
I'm Coming Up, So You Better Get the Party Started. I'm coming up. I'm coming.
Keep going.
No. Oh,
I think we have 8 seconds before we have to start. I think you get 8 seconds before we have to start paying royalties. So.
Oh, phew. Okay. Fair use. Fair use, Pink. Nick Alampi underscore 24 asks, what would you do as the owner of the Tigers?
I mean, that's a very open-ended question.
I'd probably have a tiny golden giraffe. Like, think of it. My money, I revel in it. What'd he say? I love it.
I don't know. I'm not sure that I understand the reference.
Remember the commercial where the guy kisses the tiny giraffe?
Oh, yeah.
That was a good commercial. We should bring back.
I would buy a lot more airtime for the bite, sip, sip guys.
Nice. Gumby fan 24 asks, what position would Gumby play? There's a correct answer to this.
I don't know what it is, but let's take a step back and admire the fact that this gentleman or lady, it's 2021, decided that of all the things in the world to set up a fan account for,
Gumby fan.
Gumby was the right call.
The name is Claymation Fanatic 48 and the handle is at Gumby Fan 24. Takes all kinds of people, Jordan, to make the world go around. What position would Gumby play? The correct answer is Gumby would play first base. Because what can Gumby do? Stretch. He's going to stretch and catch the ball.
Gumby was like 65 years before my time, so I'm not real familiar with the gentleman's work.
And his horse, Pokey? That's about all I know. Yeah.
Right.
Crawljax asks, which players on the current roster are part of the everyday plan? Well, I saw this question. I'm like, well, what kind of horizon are you imagining? Like 2 years or 5 years? I mean, Badu, Scope, Candelario, Scooble, Mize, Manning, maybe Fulmer, Soto, Turnbull, Hill, Paredes, Haas, maybe those might be role players, but
I think they'll resign Robbie. I desperately want them to resign Robbie.
So those are folks that are going to be involved for the next couple of years anyway. So Michael Litzner, who's a regular questioner at Litzner, asks, who wins in a fight, an Eric sized turkey or 10 turkey sized Erics? It's definitely the Eric sized turkey. Can you imagine what a ferocious beast be like, a velociraptor?
That would be a huge turkey. Not calling you fat, but that would be a huge turkey.
A 200-pound turkey. That'd be pretty amazing.
It'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
I'd actually love to see it.
Sure. Bill Humphrey at Humphrey Bill asks, one, thanks for the pod. Not a question. Does... I was clear with the instructions. Thank you, Bill. But
not accepting the compliment at all. Just straight to correcting him.
Does Moots make a watermelon pizza? Is that a thing?
Watermelon pizza?
Shouldn't be.
I hope not. It sounds terrible. No offense.
You hear about the strawberry pizza? Like pineapple. People are putting pineapple on pizza, which I like. But now they're trying for the strawberry pizza and evidently watermelon pizza now.
Strawberries taste like farts. Don't put strawberries on pizza. What
kind of strawberries are you eating?
Number three. Strawberries taste like farts. It's not unique to the strawberries I'm eating. Everyone knows it. They just don't want to admit it.
You have bad taste. Who, if anyone, would you like the team to lock down with a contract this off season? So we re-signed Scope, extended Scope. That was good. Does your comment mean Grossman? You'd want to extend him? He's out of he's in contract for next year, so there's no motivation. But
yeah, I don't necessarily think that we'll extend him. I can see us bringing him back. Yeah,
Jamer's the guy.
He has what, 1 year left on his deal, something like that.
Jamer would be nice to extend him.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew B at Andrew_Bush asks, this season has surpassed our expectations, but has all the fun run out? What's the reason to watch now?
I mean, it's
the auditions that we talked about.
Yeah, the same reasons that we've talked about in the show.
And it's baseball. It's fun. What else are you going to do?
And it's going to be gone here fairly shortly.
Yeah,
so
soak it up.
Yeah.
Pizza Slayer, one of the slaws, JSlaw0809 asks, do you ever think about how well Chris Illich would fit in if he lived in West Michigan with his lack of desire to spend any money? Thinks Mr. Slaw is calling Illich Dutch. Chris Illich would fit in fine here with the DeVossen and Van Andel set.
Oh, they're yeah. That'd be like the big three. Three Musketeers. Yeah. Or whatever.
More of a, you know, a triangle of the three, more kind of a pyramid almost, so to speak. A couple pyramid schemers. It's a very West Michigan joke. Never mind.
I was gonna say, you took that from an allusion to just flat out spelling out what you're saying.
I had to, because nobody was going to get it. Amway's a pyramid scheme, friends. Yeah, all right, here we go. Oh, no. Are we going to get sued for that or something? That'll be funny.
I don't suspect that they listen to
that. Not a lot of Vanessa Van Andel listeners. Anthony Troy asks, if you pick a former Tiger who's still playing to pull a Ronaldo and come back, who would you pick? You need to maybe explain this a little bit.
All right, so here's the story. Cristiano Ronaldo, for those of you who don't know, is probably one of the two greatest soccer players of all time. Started his career, well, became big at Man United, went away, went to Real Madrid, Juventus, won everything there is to win, and now this past week he has come back to Man United.
What's left
36.
Of his body is back with Manchester
What's
United.
Left of his body is still a physical specimen. If soccer has a Tom Brady, it's going to be him.
Okay, all right.
But so Man United is where he made his name, where he became, you know, the best player in the world, whatever. So to put it in baseball terms, like it's Verlander, like that is the only, you know, we grew him up, turned him into the, I mean, I got to give JB some credit. It wasn't all us, but him coming back would be kind of the equivalent.
Well, and he's probably who I'd pick too. You answered Anthony's question there. You say Verlander.
Yeah, Verlander. Yeah.
How about Alex Avila? He can play shortstop.
Yeah.
Is Maben still playing? I feel like we get Maben every couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. We traded him three times.
Evan, at Evan_1995 says, Robbie Ray. Boy, did
not
we,
a bad call.
Did we, Robbie Ray is like leading the world in strikeout percentage, I think it is.
To be fair to us on that one, he's taken a long time to get where he has.
Like, but we as fans owe an apology to the Tigers franchise because we ripped the Doug Fister trade when we traded Fister for Robbie Ray.
Yeah, and I mean, they certainly selected talent correctly.
That was the right call. That was the right thing to do. And they tried to like patch it up by doing the green trade, which was a mistake.
Yes, definitely. Although I
should have just stuck with Robbie Ray. Like stick to your
guns. I thought
Shane
Green had a lot more in him than turning into a very good reliever. I thought there was a really good start there, and it just never happened.
Ray was just slow to develop.
Yeah,
some
guys are, and a lot of guys develop on their second contracts with their second, third, fourth teams.
Well, just Eric Haas of pitching. We'll just call it. Slugwizzy asks, he's making a comparison to the new Arsenal manager with Brad Ausmus being handsome.
I actually did the research here. Read the question. It's a good one.
Okay. All right. Mikel Arteta.
Mikel Arteta.
Mikel Arteta.
He's Spanish.
Is to Arsenal as Brad Ausmus was to the Tigers. In parentheses, handsome, former player, alleged genius, but no. Who will be their AJ?
Those are both accurate.
Who will be their AJ and who will be their garden hire before him? So this is kind of an Arsenal soccer question about coaching.
Yes. Okay. So garden hire led to an era of minimal progression and absolutely no fun. So clearly that would be Jose Mourinho, who will come in next. And then following Jose, so the AJ is somebody that played, somebody that is a little bit more forward thinking and has already won stuff. So that would be
Roy
Kent. Zidane. Roy Kent. Yes. I mean, Roy is the choice for any open managerial.
Zinedine Zidane is famous for headbutting in the World Cup. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong, but he has also won two Champions Leagues.
And he was a very good player.
Yeah. Yes, well before my time, but I'm that's what I'm told.
I think I remember watching it. I'm a fossil. Jeremy Troya asks, since it's tomorrow, who do you want to see for the September call-ups? I know they have said not Torque or Green, but they've been mashing, so I wonder if the org has changed their stance on this. The answer is no.
No. The only guy I really care to see is Nivaldo Rodriguez because I don't know anything about him and I would like to.
Okay.
He's on the 40 man. He's been pitching perfectly fine at Toledo. Let's give it a go.
How about Paredes?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him.
He'll for sure come up.
Yeah. Guys like Robson, Cody Clemens probably comes up. And
yeah, that's another one. That would be interesting to see.
I'm not a big Cody Clemens guy, but yeah. So Lynn Henning despises both of the Castros, and he wants Cody Clemens. Like, that's gonna solve all our problems.
Definitely.
Nope. No, Lynn. Daz will be up. I mean, they'll be
Jason Foley will come back, I'm sure.
Yeah, there'll be a hand. How many are we allowed now? It's not as many as we used to have.
Mm-mm.
Is it four?
Did you see
or
that Renato Nunez got claimed finally?
Yeah.
Poor
good for
Renato.
Him.
Up and down and up and down.
What an interesting player. He can hit you bombs and nothing else.
Nothing.
He can't field. He doesn't walk. He doesn't hit. He just hits bombs.
In some ways, I respect the
the
speciality of that. Yeah.
The purity of endeavoring. But he can do it. He'll hit you bombs and that's it. He's like, I don't know. Matt Stairs would walk a little bit, but I feel like, and Matt Stairs was better than Nunez, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm trying to think of a comp who just hits you bombs and not much else.
Willie Mopeña.
Who trying to ball at who trying to ball?
We trying to ball.
Asks, who's your September call-ups and who do you think they, as the Tigers, will actually called up? Well, who trying to ball? Jeremy Beach to the question.
Also, Nivaldo Rodriguez.
Yes. Dave Fleece asks,
Fleece.
Is it Fleece?
I said that because that's what you always say. I don't know what it is.
Dave Fleece. Does AJ win manager of the year? If not, who does?
I don't know who's going to, but it's not going to be AJ. Like, we've done better than expected.
Right.
But you have to, like, actually make some sort of impact to win the award.
Right.
Which I guess is fair. But, I mean, he should certainly be in the conversation.
Sure. At who trying to ball asks, yo, my dumbass also just learned you only get two blankety blank call ups now? ! When did the expletive this happen? I don't like that. First of all, watch your language. Who trying to ball? And second of all, yes, good point. You only get two extra call-ups. So all those guys that we talked about, sorry, you only get two now, I guess.
So Nivaldo and who?
You know, it's going to be like Paredes. Paredes.
Yeah, okay.
I want Paredes. I think that would be a reasonable choice. That's it. That's all the questions and the one complimentary statement. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. We love you.
Well done. I feel like your reading tonight was really on point.
Was it? Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
I feel like your reading at times can waver in its success. But I feel like you really nailed it. Probably the glasses.
Yeah, it's maybe I can see better. This is like the movie with the guy. He needed the glasses. Major League.
Oh.
Well, you don't got my control in with the glasses.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I think
that's what
we
should have given Bruce Rondon. Give him some specs. Maybe. Could have changed the trajectory of both him and the franchise.
Oh, there's one last minute question. Do we want one last minute question? This is a late entry. Mitch from Michigan asks, I have not read this question, so I have no idea. When staying in a hotel, what do you find yourself watching on TV that you typically don't watch at home? I find myself watching more American Pickers in the various Nick at Night shows in the couple nights on the road than the other 350-ish days at home. This is an interesting phenomenon. What do you watch in a hotel that you wouldn't watch at home?
I feel like I usually end up on TBS a lot.
I'm like watching Pawn Stars is always on, and I would never watch it at home. But if I see it on, I'm kind of like, he's got a Civil War saber. I wonder what that's worth. Oh, Alfred Hitchcock autographed a taxidermied penguin? Sticker on. Let me call my expert on taxidermied penguins. Gets me every time. Oh yeah. What? Call the expert. Yeah, break it down. It's ridiculous. I fall for it every time. There's no wonder there's a zillion episodes of that crap.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me, I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you. All right, I got nowhere to go from there. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter and Instagram, I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. And the show is at Podcastianos. As always, our sponsor is Moot's Pizzeria in beautiful downtown Detroit. Swing by there before or after the game. Pick up a slice. Tell them that we sent you. And you definitely won't regret it. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the evening?
A couple more bad elementary school names.
Oh, here we go. All right.
Liam. Sorry, Liam.
What are you talking about? Liam is a perfectly fine British name.
Do we live in Britland? No, we live in America.
Does it matter? This is a global community at this point.
Liam. This is the second most popular boy's name. In elementary schools around the country, Liam is number two.
That is absurd. I'll give you that one. That's ridiculous.
And for the girl side, I'm going with Amelia. It's not great.
Amelia.
It's kind of it's a very mouthful. Traditional. Amelia.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not feeling Amelia. That's it. That's all I have. I'm not going to rip on the people too much. Cherish your children.
I think that
give them
that
better
ship
names.
Has sailed. I'm not going to rip on the people too much after plenty.
Destroying plenty the of names ripping. Of your children. Yeah. All right. That's all I have.
All right. That's all he has for the people. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.